talking love and relationships.
Yeah. It's not streaming, though. There we go. Receiving your content. Your audience will know you are live now.
Welcome to He Said, She Said, talking love and relationships.
Welcome to.
You know, right?
Yeah.
This is why I'm never going to be an actress.
Yeah. I wish I could take it back right now. All right. It is posted, but talk amongst yourselves for a moment. I got to do some things here.
Okay. We're basically, I'm excited to do this when we ended it the last episode.
We ended it?
Take two.
We ended it.
We ended the last episode talking about whether or not we have a type. And the answer was to ask your exes. We're trying this new, a couple new things actually. The lighting, which, and also going on YouTube Live instead of just the Facebook Live. So
yeah, no Facebook Live at all.
Right.
See if that link. Well, that link doesn't even work. What the heck?
Hey, this is what happens when you start new stuff. But
no, hold on, let me check.
It ends up being perfected.
Yeah, keep hosting for a minute. I'm trying to make this work.
Keep hosting. I'm anxious to hear your article.
Oh, there we go. There we go. So the link updated. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
There we go.
All right. Now the link is proper.
So now it doesn't show up live on Facebook though?
No. Mm. But now I can put that link in the video that I did. Boom boom. What's this?
We all can see right now who the real producer is. I'm here to just cause trouble. Much hasn't changed since I was little.
There's so much to talk about. I mean, with the seven different shows that we have coming on the air, your new show that's starting, PMS, there's a lot of things, baby. Come on. You got this.
I am excited about the PMS show.
You're excited to have PMS.
Yeah, no. That's something I never really suffered from. I'm sure.
Shit. Just those around you.
Yeah, just the ones around me suffered.
Yeah, just those around you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so really. People can chat in too that are watching. So I got the chat pulled up in front of me. If you got something to say, chat it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so we can, we got the live chat enabled on the YouTube link. I think changing the bitrate thing actually helped.
Oh. What did you take it down to? 15?
1500, yeah. 1500, definitely.
It's not
a little help here.
You know what? I don't need this. I'm back to my you know what. I'm waiting for you. I know that I'm supposed to be talking in the meantime about my show.
Yeah.
You know what? The show isn't going to be too serious. I mean, I'm going to have lots of different types of ladies on there because I know there's a lot of women that have amazing stories that we all like to share and relate to, things like that. But I think I'm going to add a little bit of my humor into it. Maybe try some of my pretend stand-up. I've got material for days, but I don't have the guts to get up there. Adam did really well. He did...
I don't know about really well. I wasn't shitty.
No, you did good. The flow was good. I mean, there wasn't a ton of people there for how small the little place was, but I thought you did great. There wasn't any pause like I just did, and I'm not even in front of an audience. I'd be up there going, could somebody tell me my jokes that I need to say?
All right, so what's the Cognitive Rampage Network all about?
Yeah, the Cognitive Rampage.
Getting some hosting training live on He Said, She Said, yeah, on episode 17.
Well, if it's my own thing, I don't have to care. I just do what I want.
Yeah, I'm interested as well to see the PMS.
Yeah.
You don't have to add show. It's just the PMS.
Yeah, right.
Because it'd be the Patricia May Show.
Right. I like it just as the PMS. Make people wonder if I'm just going to get up on that show and bitch about stuff.
You might end up.
I don't think so.
What do you got planned? What are you going to do?
I've met so many amazing women, especially with the recent places that we went to host. And, you know, I didn't get enough time with them, and I was really interested. So I met quite a few ladies that have already agreed to do it. But I'm also going to do a little bit of behind the business, because I get to meet a lot of behind the business women, but I'm going to have them on my show. And then, I don't know, there's things that a lot of, I think, people would like to be able to talk about, or to at least hear that there's someone else going through it, that they are. There's so many, like, so many different stages of life for women, especially if they've already gone through the marriage, then now they're divorced. It's like they have to start all over again. So I think I've got some pretty good experience on that side. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to shoot the shit with the ladies.
All right. That'll be the PMS. And then the Fight Life will still get going. I'm trying to get JT on here, JT Taylor, James Taylor, technique boxing guy. He's done a lot, working with a lot of kids in his community. Really cool. Trying to get Julian Williams, the Orlando's most loved fighter, really, who should already be in the UFC. But yeah. He trains, you know, Jacare, Mike Perry, a couple other fighters, too, out of Fusion XL, trying to get him on for the Fight Life. Got a couple special guests lined up for my version of Behind the Business. Same podcast, people, so it's just Behind the Business with two different hosts when we talk to them. The LMAO show.
Yeah, that's gonna be fun.
Laugh my ass off. This Friday will be the first guest on there. Tight Mike's coming over. Guy that hooked me up with the spot over there at Chantel's. I'll also be back on the mic at Chantel's 20-minute spot.
Chantilly Lace.
This coming Friday, and then
hey, I bet you at least one other female started singing that song when they heard that name.
All right, and then. Let's see. After that, Spunky Robinson, he's booked on July 19th.
I thought he was pretty funny.
Yeah, he was good. He was headlining that night, man. I dig him, man. So he'll be over here at the studio cutting it up, too. Just did an episode today of Adam Does the News You Missed. Science, tech, health, entertainment, business, some other stuff. It was all science today, though, but you can go back and watch that. What else we got? The news show. Oh, He Said, She Said, this show that we're doing about relationships, and the Cognitive Rampage.
You're getting more active on that too. Now you're starting to book some more people.
Yeah. The Anchor Show. That one will still be doing its thing. Almost did a Cognitive Rampage today too. Got notes lined up for that. Ready to go.
I'm surprised. Yeah. I thought you were going to do that. Were you getting kind of burnt out from trying to this new system?
Never burnt out. Ran out of time. Oh. We had to do this show. So yeah, a lot of shows on one network. That was kind of the point was subscribe on iTunes, YouTube, Stitcher for Android, and get 7 shows on one podcast, comedy, MMA, A Woman's View, even, He Said, She Said, relationships, love, some cerebral mental health stuff, and even some news that you missed. So one channel on YouTube, one podcast on iTunes, and you'll get all the 7 different variations of the show. Got our new background coming for that side of the studio.
Just ordered.
Yeah, that'll show up soon. That'll be the LMAO background for the show.
Yeah, I think it's perfect.
Yeah.
I think it's cool that I have not heard any of his material, your first guest.
Oh, yeah, Ty Mike.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to
it. Yeah, he's good, man. He's been around a while, man. He'll be over. So I look forward to just cutting up. It's just cutting up with comedians. That's what it is, LMAO cutting up with comedians.
Yeah, I don't think you'll have anything to worry about on that one.
Yeah, should be all right. So, what are your topics? You got topics for tonight?
My topic. I sound like a complete fuck up tonight.
No, I'm like, where are you?
I don't know. I'm feeling kind of spacey. Maybe I'm PMSing.
You may be. I'm like, hi, welcome show and stuff. And my topic is fucking this.
You know what? I don't always.
You know what? I'm so glad we covered that 2 episodes ago. Now, every time you tell me, you know what?
Yeah, but people know exactly have different meanings when I say it. Like just now, it was actually more like going, I saved some articles on Facebook and I went to go read them a couple minutes ago, and it was an advertisement to join a class.
That's how they get you.
So, but it was, the topic was, I mean, we can certainly go off that. The topic was about women that are in relationships and they're running businesses and stuff like that. And how do they maintain those relationships? And is it hard to, like if you're in a relationship and you're the female and you're maybe better off with career-wise and also on the finance side, mm-hmm. how it impacts your relationship with a lot of men and how to, you know, handle that so sure. that it's not hurting their ego because their woman is, you know, slinging it.
Slinging it. Slinging yeah. rock or slinging pussy?
No, just slinging her shit. You know, oh, she's getting it done.
Pouring all over the city. I got you.
Yep.
Well, I have two articles. We should probably cover the one we didn't cover last week first.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm guessing. I love that I'm sitting here. I don't have my glasses, people, so this should be fun. The old man has left them.
Where are you?
Oh, I'm here. Blind or not, I'm yeah. here. This was from the Washington Post. We were going to cover it on last week's episode, but we ran pretty long with the other topic we did.
Yeah, I liked last one. I didn't want to stop. You were a good producer on that one, too.
It's like, cut it.
Yeah, we're done. Go to the next.
So scientists interview a bunch of people's exes to confirm that, yes, you probably do have a type. Jump in anytime.
You got it.
Let's say you've just gotten out of a romantic relationship and are ready to look for someone new. Someone different. That's what we all say. How about if I was something different?
Well, if it didn't work, I think I'd probably feel the same.
Right. Someone who, above all, is the polar opposite of your ex, who by the end of it was frankly driving you a little nuts. After some false starts, you make a match. I don't know how you make a match. Things are going great. Sounds like a fight. things are going great, honestly. You begin telling your friends and family member. I read this little bit before we got off.
Yeah.
Before we got off the podcast.
That too. It was pretty sassy at the end.
Yeah. Before we got off yeah. the podcast, I did read some of this. So you begin telling your friends and family and even start thinking long term when weeks or months into the new relationship, it suddenly hits you. Your new partner is eerily similar to the last one. Mm-hmm. If you've ever experienced anything like this, you're an asshole. I mean, you're not alone. According to new research published by the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, sounds good, probably some whack job thing they put together.
Yeah.
The study by a pair of psychologists at the University of Toronto confirms what dating histories have long suggested. When it comes to romantic partners, most people do have a type personality-wise. And the study arrives at its conclusions in a novel and slightly terrifying way via interviews with hundreds of people's romantic exes. You interview the ex, you're going to get some shit. Mm-hmm. Good God.
Yeah.
What if they interviewed your exes?
I don't think they'd love me. Yeah.
They love me, of course.
No, I think maybe one ex would be the one that would, you know, destroy me, but that's okay.
My ex-wife would have nothing but great things to say.
Yeah, the ex-husband, he would probably go, well, let me pull out my list.
Yeah.
But the rest of them, I think they wouldn't be so cruel.
All right. So psychologists have delved into the topic before, but much of the prior research relied on individual self-reported experiences with their exes. Okay, that would be horseshit. That's potentially a huge problem, as anyone who has tried to speak in coldly rational terms about a former lover can probably attest. People may be inclined to cast former partners in a negative light. Maybe inclined.
Yeah.
People will cast in it. Me and my ex, we're great friends. That's a sign, though, too. That's a red flag.
What?
If you're dating a girl, at least on this side, and she's like, me and my ex are still very good friends. Fucking watch it.
Tell me why.
Are you kidding?
No, I know lots of girls like that.
Unless he's went to the other team.
No, she could have been the kind of girl that, well, I guess red flag.
Watch it. Yeah, watch it. And I'm not saying it's over, but I'm just saying red flag that shit. I'm sorry, but if you spoke on one of these other podcasts we did about how a girl broke up with the dude and he was like, well, let's just kind of stay friends and would kind of.
Yeah, stringing him along.
Yeah.
It's either stringing him along or they feel sorry for them.
Yeah, in a sense. But or she ain't left really. You know what I mean? Or he was just like, we ain't going to be together, but I still fuck. And she's like, I'm cool. That's great. You know, mm-hmm. We only bang once a month when we're wasted. No one's calling. Just that's a red flag. I'm just saying. And a girl with like 85 guy friends only.
Yeah.
Another red flag for me. I'm just saying red flag. You starting to date a girl and she's like, hey, I'm an alpha chick. I'm one of the guys, you know?
Yeah.
You know, chugging beers and lifting weights. Well, that'd be kind of cool. But still, if it's 85 friends, if it's 85 guy friends, and that's who she hangs out with only and primarily, and a very short list of girlfriends, if any,
mm-hmm.
red flag. Just saying.
No, I agree with that. I can definitely point out some, probably some reasons where that's happening.
Yeah, and red flag doesn't mean you're over out there for those of you alpha females that are one of the guys, okay? Doesn't mean it's over. I'm just saying I'm watching you. The current study gets around this issue by relying on the German Family Panel Study, a representative survey of German adults that has been ongoing since 2008. That survey involves interviews with both primary survey participants and their romantic partners. If a participant changes partners, the new arrival gets interviewed, and that data is added to the primary participant's file. Researchers evaluated current and former romantic partners on the Big Five Personality Inventory, an interview-based tool in which social scientists have relied on for years. The inventory assigns scores on five personality traits: extroversion, agreeableness, conscientiousness, neuroticism, and openness to new experience. To find out where you fall, check out the 538's version of the inventory. With those scores in hand, the researchers then compared current and former partners, ads are flipping, with current and former partners to see how similar or different they were. Crucially, researchers controlled for the potentially confounding factors, since people tend to date people who are broadly similar to them. Personality-wise, they controlled for the personality type of the primary survey participant. They also controlled for people's tendency to characterize themselves in socially desirable terms to ensure that any similarities weren't simply an artifact of the way that all humans talk about themselves. Researchers found a significant degree of distinctive partner similarity, suggesting that there may indeed be a unique type of person each individual ends up with, according to the study. I have to say that at the end. It has quotes. I see that. If you've dated, say, introverted and neurotic people in the past, you're likely to date similar types of people in the future. Interestingly, however, they found that this partner association was weaker, although still present, for people who scored high on the extroversion and openness to new experiences. If you're an outgoing person who loves trying new things, in other words, you are more likely to date people who are dissimilar to one another. The findings have important implications for predicting future partnering behaviors and actions in romantic relationships, according to the study authors. They envision, for instance, online or app-based dating services that recommend potential partners to people based on their previous romances. Think Netflix recommendations, but for dating. Artificial intelligence right there. That's already happening to an extent. I mean, that's kind of what Match.com and eHarmony does.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Although much of the emphasis tends to be based on what people say they want in a partner rather than what their experience has shown they want.
Right. And I think that a lot of people that date someone that's so similar to them, it almost becomes a competition.
Mm. Yeah. Sure. I want someone that hikes. Everyone's fucking hiking.
I like doing that.
For the time being, the results suggested somewhat disturbingly that the key to finding happiness in long-term relationships is to find someone who's a lot like your exes.
Really?
Unfortunately, that's what it reads. So have your type and stick to it?
Well, maybe it's that you bring a certain thing out of each type of man. And it kind of,
assuming that every man's the same, though. You know, you're just bringing it out in them.
Well, you know, like if you're like a bitch, then you can make every other, you know, man that you're with just continuously be frustrated with you. So then that could turn into, oh, he's short-tempered.
Yeah.
Really, it's her.
Yeah, Leo has, five ways to make sure to find the right relationship? It's actually episode 52 of the Cognitive Rampage
52,
podcast.
Huh?
Yeah. He called in. He has a kind of a five-step thing about how to choose the next best partner. You know, and kind of steps to not choose the wrong one again. You know, I'd say dating your exes. Because I would argue this a little bit, because when I did counsel people directly, you know, what a lot of people end up doing is they dated this person on the left end of the spectrum, right, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then they meet somebody, whether they're still with them or after, and that person is the extreme opposite at the other end of this spectrum. But it's still not what you need.
Right.
You need that the next one in the middle. You know what I mean? Now, I don't know when the middle comes, whether the second one is there, then the third girl, and right?
Yeah.
You know, so usually we do date that polar opposite almost right away because that polar opposite is just everything that who we're with is not.
Yeah, you're like, ugh, that drove me crazy. You start to not trust your own, you start to not trust your own opinion. You just think you're making the wrong choices, so you're going to go ahead and try something that you wouldn't normally choose.
Yeah. Yeah. That can happen. You can marry that actually.
Yeah.
Personal experience. Right. So but it's true though. I mean, so you got to kind of beware of like the person you're with. If, you know, they were A, B, C, but they're just missing, you know, D, E, F. And then you meet D, E, F.
Yeah.
You may go with D, E, F, but they're missing A, B, C.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't notice it because you're frankly tired of ABC anyway.
Yeah, I wonder how, like, if you were to line up all the ladies that you dated or anybody really, how similar they would be appearance-wise. You know, if you're basing your decisions on the physical appearance of people as opposed to maybe their behavior. Like, for instance, mine would not be appearance. Mine would be more like behavior.
Excuse me.
Well, you know, because...
Well, some people do have the type, though. Like, they like blonde. They like whatever, blue-eyed, right? But that's... Remember, we've talked about that, too. That's more of a preference. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The standards, expectations, and preferences. This is my standard of someone I'll date.
Yeah.
You know, I expect the person, you know, not to do A, B, or C.
Mm-hmm.
And then a preference. So if you're saying, look, my standard is to have someone that, you know, I'm going to be simple here, is, you know, not to cheat on me or beat me up, right, or yell at me. Mm-hmm. These are my standards, at least, and they got to have a job of some kind, you know, whatever. These are my standards. You know, I'd expect them. You know what I mean? See, that's where, I don't know, I'd expect them not to cheat on me. These are really expectations.
Yeah.
I'd expect them not to cheat on me. And I expect them to have sex with me at least fucking 3 times a week or so, whatever, right?
Right.
These are expectations. And I'd prefer them to be blonde with green eyes and, you know, 5 foot whatever. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And or vice versa, right? If the girl's talking, right? He needs to be 6'2" or above, you know, red hair, whatever, right? These are your preferences, you know? So your choices keep going whoop, whoop, whoop. They narrow and narrowing yourself down. You're like, I just can't find anyone. You know what I mean?
Do you think that's a bad thing?
If you're looking for love, sure. Because if you prefer the redhead, right, for instance, guy or girl, whatever, if you prefer that, that means anyone who's not is automatically not in.
Yeah, they're now a solid 8 before they get started.
Well, they're not even, you won't even. You know, when really that guy or girl who's, you know, whatever hair could be somebody you match with perfectly.
Yeah.
You know, but because you're just all like, I don't even redheads, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
Those preferences can fuck you up, man. And, you know, so it's really, but this research is saying that even if you open yourself up to say, oh, I'm going total opposite, somewhere down the line, that person is going to show you they're just like your ex.
Do you believe that? I don't believe that.
In traits now. Well, I mean, well, okay, it could be, you know, I mean, that's what the science is saying based on this minimal research, you know what I mean? And I'm sure it's all of the individual.
Yeah.
And most people are like, I never date the same person, you know what I mean? But a lot of people do have a type. It's funny, I watch the curtain behind you start to wiggle. I'm like, what's happening?
Yeah, I felt my chair bumping.
Grace is trying figure out how to get in. You know, if you lined all my exes up, you know, from when it counts after high school.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry to those that I dated in high school. I don't remember. Different.
Yeah.
Physically different,
mm-hmm.
for the most part. Personality-wise, they were all pretty outgoing except for one.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I guess so in a way. Yeah, outgoing, creative, except one. You know what I mean? They all had a creative, you know, gene about them,
mm-hmm.
That did something. Interesting. Yeah, kind of looking back, that's kind of interesting.
Yeah. Mine definitely did not look similar. I think they were definitely funny.
So extroverted.
Yeah.
Because they're going off, you know, the ENJS, you know, that kind of thing. So introverted, extroverted. That's kind of what I was basing it on yeah. for myself. It's just those personality types.
Yeah, it didn't. I was never attracted to the introvert. Not that I, you know what I mean? I wasn't going like this, nobody that's an introvert, I won't look at you. It just didn't capture my attention.
Mm.
So.
Well, perhaps the mistake you've made, because you keep looking right for the extrovert. That's kind of what that's saying, is you're it didn't capture your attention. An introvert generally is not going to capture your attention. The extrovert is out to capture your attention.
I think, though, I don't feel like I really had the mentality that I'm looking for someone.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why it happened, because it was the extrovert that was an attention seeker, or, you know, that would really kind of go out of their way or something.
Yeah, I think, you know, some people prefer the introvert. I mean, it's really the preference of the person, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I think you're right. People can get confused, though, with the physical, you know, specimen of it.
Yeah.
Maybe and go past that and not be willing to go past that even. I don't know, man, but the fact that we date our exes, I think there's some validity to that.
I definitely think people are missing out if they do categorize.
Yeah, if you don't learn from your ex anyway, you know what I mean? And including yourself, you know what I mean? Not just like, that's where I think some people can be kind of narcissistic, right? Is like you have a bunch of exes and they were all the assholes. You know what I mean?
Well, I was just going to say, think about this. If you sit there and, like, the people that are listening or even yourself, you sit there and you think, what is the main thing that myself or you have bitched about all your exes or whatever? Then you're like, ew, I'm a lot like these people, or vice versa. You know, where, like, if your complaints normally were about your ex-boyfriend, that they were all totally into themselves, then you're telling this to your new boyfriend. Is he going to be like, is that what I am?
You're right. Or what if he's like, so are you? You know, yeah. Well, because according to the research, right?
Yeah.
Whatever you're telling him all your exes were, mm-hmm. that's probably you too, right? Because you're yeah. kind of attracted to it. So mm-hmm. maybe that's true. Whatever you're bitching about your exes, maybe that's you too. You know, maybe that's one of the strains, you know what I mean, that you relate to, that you may not have thought you related to. You yeah. know, that you really pick up on.
Yeah, like when you were saying that, I was thinking, like, what would I really categorize? Like, what did they really have in common? And I think maybe, like, the entrepreneur behavior.
I don't know. I'd have to check research whether that matches extroversion. That would be just speaking.
Maybe like a, you know, sort of like, I guess, a go-getter. Except for one.
You said that so plain. It was like, you know, a go-getter.
Yeah. You know, one of them there things. Except for one.
Yeah, that's funny. Well, look at that. We're eerily similar. We've all dated the same person except for the one, right, that you had that wasn't that way. And the same for me. Mm-hmm. Not that it wasn't a go-getter, but it had the one thing that was different, you know?
Yeah.
The one time I dated an introvert, you know yeah. what I mean, for the most part. I wouldn't count in high school anyway, so yeah. one girl was an introvert then. You know, so for the most part, they've all been pretty extroverted and creative. Yeah, I would say extrovert and creative would probably be the two, but that's how I describe you.
Yeah.
That's certainly how I describe
that's
you.
I've got this lid. I'm going, go on.
Yeah, because you are. You're extroverted. You're very creative and extroverted. That's funny, you know? So when you look back, it's kind of a thing there.
Yeah.
Shit. Not looking good. Well, what's the last line of the thing say, though, right? The last line was, if you're an outgoing person who loves trying new things, in other words, you're more likely to date people who are dissimilar to one another. So it's basically telling you, keep dating your exes. Again, be aware if yeah. she's like, I'm good friends with my ex.
Yeah.
Unless they're, you know, parents. They got a co-parent and stuff like that. That's rough, though. Like, that would be so hard.
Like,
yeah.
Co-parenting? Or like...
Yeah, I mean, you for the kid, it's fucking awesome. I'm glad that the parents get along, right? Psychologically speaking,
yeah.
I'm glad that they get along. You know that they hang out. You know, but like, she's got to come to all the functions. She got to, you know what I mean? Is she got to come to all the functions where you're hanging out like one big happy family? Some do, and
yeah,
that's
but
cool.
I think really, when you really do decide that you don't love someone anymore, you really don't care if they are there.
Yeah, and then seven shots of whiskey kind of go, well, one more time.
Oh, God, no. Gross.
I'm talking about people.
I know, but I'm talking generally about here. Yeah, well, okay, so, yeah, I guess that could be something.
Yeah,
could
what if my ex-girlfriend and I were stayed good friends? I just didn't love her anymore, but we talked and we hung out once in a while, but I didn't love him, so you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, it wouldn't happen.
Yeah, right, see, exactly, that's what I'm talking about.
Well, I know, but I'm talking about people that have children together.
Yeah,
that's where you lose your choice.
I think you just covered that on Point of View, too, last week. You know, but I didn't like the line. It was like, date a man with children or is it a deal breaker?
You're
like,
oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, there goes a huge cut right there. You're down to like 26-year-olds and younger.
They still exist, though. I mean, if you know that you don't have the patience for that or you didn't have children for that reason, why should you have to go put yourself through that?
Yeah. I mean, but if you're above the age 30, good luck.
Right?
Good luck.
That's very, very true.
You know what I mean? Good luck. Even if you're above the age 40 right now, good luck to date somebody that doesn't have a kid that's 15 or 12, you know what I mean, or two.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Right. That's rough. All right. Moving on.
Moving on.
This one's going to be a little deeper, a little mathematical equations here for people. What is the correct love ratio for your relationship?
Go on.
They say that relationships are made up of give and take, but how true is that? And if it is true, how much should each partner give and take? Let's chat about this before we get going.
Okay.
Because we're going to get a little research here. What's the give and take? What's the should and take? I mean, that, you hear that, right? It's a little give and take, you know, some days. And that's what you hear. It's very oblivious,
yeah.
or vague.
Well, we kind of went through that a little bit in the last episode where you figure out who does what better and then you can give and take in that aspect. But I think that if you just continuously operate with, I wouldn't ask anything that I wouldn't do myself, and you genuinely love that person, you do it when you can. You don't have to necessarily even feel like you're going out of your way. Like if you care about someone, it's just a give and take as it comes along. There's no necessarily rules. Like there's some days where you do everything. And then there's some days where I do everything. And then the next day we both do 50-50. I think if you're measuring things as far as an expectation, it kind of loses the meaning of it. I don't want someone to do something for me because they have to.
Oh, the obligation.
Yeah. I want you to want to do the dishes.
I know. What the hell? God. All right. Is there a way to calculate love or at least the possibility of a long, stable relationship? Yes and no. But there are certain formulas that might not guarantee, but should at least highly increase the chance of having a good relationship. We've spoken to relationship experts. I'd like to see who they are. Relationship experts to get a better understanding of the pros and cons for the various relationship ratios. What is the golden ratio when it comes to love? 60-40 effort and expectation? I'm going to say if you have 40% expectation in there, you're setting yourself up for failure. There's a great Cognitive Rampage podcast that expectations are relationship killers. But moving on. Love is only true and stable if it is 100%.
Yeah.
All right. The 60-40 rule says that you should put in 60% effort and expect to receive 40% from your partner, said Celia. Yep. Yeah. A dating and relationship expert at Dating Scout. Even though you, I want to see the bio. You
know? Yeah, right. That's so true.
Right. Even though you might think that 50-50 might be a better ratio, there are numerous reasons to expect less than what you give. Giving affects multiple dimensions of a relationship, whether it is taking care, washing dishes, or simply showing and expressing affection, just to name a few. Different layers. Feel free to jump in anytime. Different layers of a relationship cannot be equaled. Wouldn't make any sense. Which one? Different layers of a relationship cannot be equaled, and this would make any sense, since every individual has strengths and weaknesses according to their individual personality, said Schweier.
I think those numbers, they're so broad, because then what percentage do you end up, are you allowed to give to yourself before it's called selfish? You know, because
40.
At the same time.
Apparently so, 40. So it's 60% giving, 40% receiving. So that's what I'm going to worry about myself maybe about that time.
Well, that's receiving. That doesn't mean you're taking care of yourself. I mean, like...
Well, you're right that this is vague as shit, that there's no meter of like, all right, it's Tuesday, I've reached my 38%, I'm almost there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for squashing the article.
Sorry.
therefore, trying to equate these levels of effort is impossible, Mayor, and might just lead to further conflicts. There we go. All right, we're getting somewhere. Yeah. Your partner repaired the sink, but you washed the dishes. Who put in more effort? Repairing the sink, definitely.
I've done both, so I'm good with that. Mm-hmm. Go on. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Sorry. Beer wanted to come back. What should you focus on here? Time, stress, needed skills. As you can see, imagine tracking that shit all the time.
There, you know what I mean? It's like people that do. You see the people that have lists on their catch and counter.
We talked about that, though, in the last podcast, that I think that's a good path.
What?
I'm a fan of that.
A list on the kitchen counter?
No, where the conversation prior, remember, when we talked about how those relationships, they... Remember, last week, it's all centered around the Tim Ferriss of decision fatigue,
yeah.
Right? If you can wipe out decision fatigue, where do you want to eat tonight? Where are we going to stay for vacation? Who's going to take out the trash? If you just lay that shit out there, you really, really, really lower decision fatigue. Decision fatigue.
And it would definitely limit the arguments because you can't say, that was your turn today.
Right. I do it Tuesday, Thursday. Yeah, but I covered Wednesday for you. Yeah. And so, right, then you... So, I mean, if you think about everything about decision
making, I think I was thinking more along the lines of someone going, you know what? I did this for him 3 times this week, and he still hasn't done his end of the bargain, where it's just a constant, like, where you're measuring.
Or they're not telling you. They're not saying it. You know what I mean? They're just waiting for you to take the trash out. You know what I mean? That want-to thing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a fan, man. Sit down. I mean, this is just also part of a lot of the conversations that people don't have when they take dating into marriage or dating into engagement, you know, or dating into holy shit, we're pregnant. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You don't sit down and go like, so what do you want to do about money, right? Well, what do you want to do about business? Do you really clean the house? You know, do you like it clean? You know, whatever those things are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I hate it when people are in a relationship, then they get married, and then they bitch that they're the same person as when they were dating. You know, like if you're saying, oh, my wife, she's just totally not into sex. You know, she doesn't do this and doesn't do that. And then you go, well, did she do that when you were dating?
Yeah, and what if she didn't or did? Because you get that a lot. It's like dating, you know, she's blowing you, you're married, she doesn't blow you.
Maybe that's why you shouldn't get married. There's no line.
I'm not. If each partner gives 60%, you end up in a relationship that is more about giving than receiving. Focusing on putting more effort in the relationship makes you a better partner than being too concentrated on getting back what you think you deserve. As in any context, lowering your expectations of receiving leaves more space to be positively surprised. Ah, backing me up. Expectations, relationship killers. If you do not expect too much, this wouldn't put your partner under pressure and will provide room for a pleasant surprise, said Schroyer.
So is that list expectations?
No, these are just things that we got to do. You know what I mean? I wouldn't be like, I expect my lady to take the trash out, you know, or pick it, you know, mm-hmm. do the dishes, laundry, whatnot.
Yeah.
You know, these are just, it's just shit that's going to pile up. You know what I mean? That kind of stuff. I'm definitely not saying schedule your sex. That is one quick way to fucking ruin it.
No. I don't mind scheduling like this. I'll be home in 5 minutes. Be ready.
Yeah, that's fine. Now, if you're married with kids and shit like that, and you got to fucking schedule it if you have to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Have to schedule.
You just, you know, if you know you're going to be home late from work and the kids aren't usually at bed at 10, go, tonight, put the kids to bed at 9 so we can, you know, get it on.
I'm talking plan that shit a week in advance. No, you are such a planner. I wouldn't wait on, like, if you got 5 kids running the fuck around, you know what I mean? You're like, hey, Friday night is our date night. You know what I mean? Well, give it up, okay?
Yeah, right.
Blow your man that night, all right? Because the dude's been, you know, whatever it is. Yeah. You know, both sides, you know what I mean? Plan it if you have to, but try not to.
Yeah.
Please, God, try not to. One thing that needs to be emphasized, the 60-40 rule only works if both lovers stick to it. If one expects 50-50 or 40-60, since he might think that he is worth it, of course he would, right? Or any other ratio. Yeah, of course he would, right? It's never her. This would lead to a major imbalance. That beer came back. Major imbalance and can cause worse than a controversy. Love ratio of 5-1. Another love ratio is the 5-1 balance. In essence, we want 5 positive interactions or exchanges for every 1 negative interaction, said, the last names are getting worse, said Tara Vosenkemper, a relationship counselor, marriage therapist, and group counseling practice owner. Okay, got a little validity here, probably divorced. Note that positive interactions don't mean big, sweeping romantic gestures. Positive interactions are more about small, seemingly innocuous, simple moments, said Vosenkemper. For example, saying, it's pretty outside, and having your partner respond with, yep, it is considered a positive interaction.
Yeah, I'm not crazy about the word yep.
Yep, it is. No, I get it. Uh-huh. It's an agreement.
Yeah.
Right? It's an agreement.
Or acknowledgement.
Well, it's agreeance. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The point is that your partner actively acknowledged and responded to you rather than ignored you. Yeah. Negative interactions are seen when there is a response where the person speaking is ignored or attacked, basically said Vosen. She said it. quid pro quo, tit for tat, is terrible for a relationship. Negative moments feel much heavier from an emotional perspective, so we want more positive moments to counter and cushion the negative ones when they show up. I would say probably more than that, because in my experience of history, counseling, relationships, all of it together, you can do 50 good things and big, big sweeping romantic things too. In one shitty thing, not crossing a line, I'm not talking, you know, cheating, not crossing lines.
Yeah.
But one shitty thing, and those 50 things are fucking yesterday's news, man.
Forgotten.
Quick. You know what I mean? You could be like the best. Mm-hmm. You know, for fucking 3 months, whatever. You know what I mean? People hold on to that negative shit, and there's actually neuroscience that backs up why we remember negative moments more so than positive ones.
Hmm.
If you're friends with your partner, it's easier to take the negative in stride, but when that negative to positive ratio starts shifting into 50-50 range, you're headed for trouble. Why not the 50-50 ratio? So these are all theoretical basis of ratios, right? So the 5-1 ratio, the 50-50, the 60-40. Nice. I got a couple more. Why not the 50-50 ratio? As mentioned before, many people think that 50-50 is equally balanced and therefore a perfect ratio for a positive affirmative relationship. But in fact, this model has several difficulties. Fairness in relationship is a keystone to mutual love and respect. In a 50-50 model, you usually focus too much on the balance of give and take than being willing to put an effort for the other. As mentioned above, many chores are not seen as equivalent. Said Scheuer. Giving while expecting to receive 50% might lead you and your partner to keep a record of what is done, like you spoke about earlier, of what is done and when. But what if someone has to go on a business trip or gets ill? The attitude causes more problems than it solves. Additionally, being too willing to have the relationship equally balanced will make it less possible to go for a 70-30 or an 80-20 at times where it is needed. It's like you're saying. That's like what we're doing, right? Some days, some off.
I'm a big fan of the word or the phrase unspoken love, where if you are confident in the way that somebody loves you, if you just really feel like you believe that they love you, they don't always have to think you're the greatest thing, but they still love you. You can put up with certain things, like if you know they're going through a hard time, you don't have to be that person that's the recipient. You just know that right now it's going to kind of be a little bit on a tip scale because they're going through some stuff. That's, to me, how you can have a relationship that works, where you don't have those expectations of it always being consistently the same.
I think the format of our show is going to change. I'm going to find the articles, read them, you respond, and I'll throw in some candor. I'm serious. I'm not kidding. You reap what you sow, and so it is always better to be willing to show more love by putting in effort in a good relationship. It will always pay back, always, I don't know, sooner than later. Don't be too focused on a timely manner. Give and take balance 85%. It's a new ratio. Relationships are give and take. Approximately 85% of your interactions with your partner should be responsive. Note that this is approximate 85% goes both ways. If only one partner is responsive and the other is hardly ever, then the relationship will go south unless things change. It's crucial that partners invest this time and energy about similar amounts. In doing so, the culture of the relationship becomes one of love, warmth, affection, which is breeding grounds. Stop there. Which is breeding grounds for longevity and fortitude, said the lady again.
The lady again.
Yes.
I'm not crazy about those types of statistics. They always seem to be... There's just too many different types of relationships of what you have what your expectations are. Like one thing might completely work for another. Like I had a great friend that their husband was not very attentive to her for 4 days of the week because he worked all the time, but he treated her like gold the next 3 days, and it was okay for her because she was like, you know, ignored practically for those 4 days, and then it made up for the next 3 days. And that worked for her. And that wouldn't necessarily work for anybody else because they need it a teeny bit every single day to feel content, you know? And it just, there's just too many ways out there variables to make a relationship work.
Yeah, I would agree. I don't think there's like this one way, right, that it's going to work or it's supposed to work. I would probably agree with that. I think some people too much time together is a problem, right? You mm-hmm. know, for those that are like, if the guy's like, look, 4 days a week, I'm not 10 hours at the job, you know, or whatever, you know, then the 3 days, I think that's fair, you know, in a way to each other, mm-hmm. you know, but there's some people, man, that need that interaction every fucking day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where they're like, say something sweet every day, you know, where are you? Where you been? Let's talk, right?
When you start to feel like it's a chore.
Not that that's bad. It's just another, I'm just pointing out a different method.
Right. That's exactly right. Because there are some that if you had to do that, you would feel like it's a freaking chore. Like I have to remember to go say this because otherwise he's going to be butthurt, you know, or vice versa, you know. She's going to be feeling neglected if I don't talk sweet to her that one particular day, mm-hmm. you know, and it can be the destruction, but then maybe that means she has to find someone that needs the same stuff.
Sure. Yeah. So we've covered some good topics. I think what sucks is I don't have a timer anymore in front of me to know how long we've been on. I'm guessing we're close. Oh, there's the timer. 48 minutes. Bam. I know I found it.
You're pretty smart.
Although I get scared because right now it's saying bad video settings. Please use keyframe frequency 4 seconds or less. Currently keyframes are, Well, so I got to adjust some keyframes because, it's not responding. It's there. It's just delayed, but whatever. Anything else to add? Anything you've seen relationship-wise? Something you've read lately? Something to throw out there for the ladies?
You know, I've noticed mostly, I shouldn't even say that. I recognized a lot lately that there are a lot of relationships where with one person is envious of the other person's life.
Really?
Yeah. Like in probably 3 different friends of mine.
Oh, shit.
Where they're envious of their ability not to worry about their relationship. Mm. You know, they're just...
Well, we covered that too on the podcast. Yeah. Remember,
overthinking, obsessing over the relationship.
Obsessing over the future of the relationship, yeah.
I've noticed that a lot. And maybe it's the age group of the ladies that I was talking to, where they're, you know, more worried about having to start all over again. And sure.
Maybe it's the fear, actually, not the actual relationship.
Right. And that's where they end up, you know, like we were saying, sabotaging the relationship. I guess if I were to close it out from my side, it would be to trust that you will be okay with or without a person.
Mm. Yeah, that's hard. And that's kind of what I was going to probably throw out to the homies. You know what I mean? I think I've given the advice already about do something random, you know, throw the dress on, let's go out somewhere, you mm-hmm. know, change it up a little bit, you know, definitely. Yeah, I definitely say that maybe if you're single currently, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? I will resort to Mother Rampage's advice that there's no perfect life. Yeah. And I do got a little advice. Beware of the relationship romance in the beginning. Beware of somebody that you meet that is just checking off all the boxes. They just got everything. Slow down for a minute. You know, as Leo also says, no one puts their worst foot forward.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? No one shows up like, hey, I'm a terrible piece of shit. You know what I mean? And sometimes I snap and punch you. You know what I mean? No one says that off the bat. You know, take your time, you know, that you necessarily don't have to rush in anything. And if you're feeling like the bubblies, you know, if you're just like, oh, my God, and you just want to do everything all the time with them, I'd say slow down, man. Slow down and enjoy that. You know, learn to miss each other. But also, it's a red flag if just right off the bat, because we all know there's something wrong with everyone.
Oh, yeah.
So if we're all like, there's nothing wrong with her. Oh, yeah. My God. And she thinks I'm perfect. We know that ain't true. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Slow down if you're getting that that God complex about the relationship. You know what I mean? Yeah. Of this perfection that's there. Just give it a little time.
I think when they do that, they are your medicine right now. And that's the only thing that makes you feel good. Mm. So you become addicted to that medicine.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, they're healing you at the moment or something. Or maybe even if both of you are in great spots and you meet each other and you're just, you know, all the stars have aligned. And you know what I mean? And if it's just this explosion of love in the beginning that's mm-hmm. like they're perfect, you're perfect, easy. You know what I mean? Something's there, you know. Don't be expecting it either, though. It'll be like, you're so perfect, what's wrong with you? You know that fucking cheesy-ass thing dudes say?
Yeah, that's so annoying.
What are you looking at? I'm trying to figure out what's wrong with you.
Yeah. What's wrong with... Why has it been this long since you've had a boyfriend? What's wrong with you?
Or no, but they mean it like this, like a slick-ass line where they're like... The girl's like, what are you looking at? And you're like, I'm trying to figure out what's wrong with you. That's the problem. I can't find anything.
Yeah.
You know, it's just crazy.
That's probably why all the men were so disappointed they could never find something wrong.
Oh, God. We'll end it with that one. Right at the 52-minute mark for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you warmed up enough to take us out of here?
Oh, I am so warmed up. Thank you so much for joining us with He Said, She Said. I don't know that I would feel so confident about this if you guys didn't provide us so much material.
I appreciate you joining He Said, She Said, hanging out. Every Sunday night, we will be here live on YouTube. Check it out. Again, subscribe to the Cognitive Rampage Network on iTunes, YouTube. Find us on Facebook. Like and follow on there. 7 shows, 1 podcast, 1 YouTube channel. LMAO show will be back next Friday.
And coming up next, Sasha is coming out.
What? No, man.
I just felt like I wanted to add that to it for my going out.
All right. Did you? Someone here?
No.
I'll also I'll be live Friday night doing some stand up over at Chantel's in Sanford as well. If you want to come hang out over there, come check me on Friday. We'll be chilling.
Yeah, they have good food.
Yes, chicken and waffles is murder.
First time for me.
First time chicken and waffles. Chantel's in Sanford. Couldn't pick a better place.
Join us.